I said last week during my sermon that I'd talk this week about how to bring our metanoia, the change in our life that has come from our penitence or spiritual conversion, out into the world, to our neighbors, both believers and those who have not yet come to believe. And that, of course, is that Greek word that I mentioned. I don't normally like to throw around the Greek words, but sometimes that word, in this instance, seems to make a lot more sense than, and I can't really think of an English equivalent that works as well. So, anyway, before I begin to talk about how to do this, I want to remind you of the steps in our transformation that I suggested. First, that we're called to change, and that change is difficult. Second, that in order to transform ourselves, to change in a positive direction, we need examples from Scripture or history or even from our fellow believers here and now. And those examples should be those whose manner of life we can imitate faithfully. Third, that in the process of our metanoia, our transformation, we will fail more than we succeed at first. The last thing to understand is that God's mission is for us to bring our changed selves into the world to be the example that others need. Not an example of perfection, but of the possibility that through faith, our faith in Jesus and the faith that Jesus has in us, we can be different and so can the world we live in. Our one problem we have in our church, of course, is that a lot of us just want to blend in. I'm not just talking about St. Andrew's. I'm talking about all over the place. Not on Sunday, perhaps, but the other 6 days. We want to blend in for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's because we're well aware that our faith isn't yet very well developed, and we feel inadequate. We don't want to be the people the world sees as examples of living faith. Or perhaps we want to blend in because in our hearts, we realize that we don't really believe we need to change. I know sometimes I used to try to blend in because I was embarrassed by some of the more prominent public Christians, and I didn't want to be associated with them. Perhaps you share that concern. I don't want to be associated with the scandals of some churches or with the outrageous, hateful theology of some of the evangelical churches or with the milquetoast, can't we all just get along message of still other churches. Whatever the reason, there are all kinds of Christians who try to wear camouflage of one sort or another, and if they do declare their faith, they do so in whispers. Camouflage is a funny thing. It works very well in some situations and terribly in others. When I was stationed at Naval Base Norfolk, Virginia, the entire base was black or gray or in some cases some shade of blue. But the security force, when the powers that be decided that there was an increased threat condition, wore forest pattern camouflage uniforms called BDUs, which means battle dress uniform. So they'd be standing at the end of the pier where the submarines were moored in garb perfectly suited to hide them in the woods. And all of the other sailors would be lined up in our blue uniforms, and they'd check our identification before letting us proceed down to our subs. And the thing is, normally they wore just regular sailor stuff like us. They'd be out there in the same uniforms that we had on. Now, I thought this was pretty funny. So I remember one time I walked past them when I got to the front of the line, and then when they started to shout at me to halt, halt, I just pretended to be startled and told them I hadn't even seen them, which they didn't think was very funny. But it was a funny situation. Camouflage helps you hide or sneak up on people, so if you're wearing it and that's not what you're trying to do, or if it doesn't blend very well with your surroundings, then it's probably a good idea to change your clothing. It's the same with Christians. If our way of life causes us to be hidden from the world, when we're called to make our faith known, we might be wearing our faith incorrectly. So here are some do's or don'ts about wearing our faith in public. Do wear a cross if you want to wear a cross. Don't wear a cross and then treat people cruelly or behave in a way that brings disrepute upon the rest of the church. The same goes for Christian bumper stickers, t-shirts, or anything else that your neighbors can see. It's perfectly fine to display symbols of our faith as long as we're also displaying the best behaviors of our faith too. The world around us picks up pretty quickly on cognitive dissonance. Aggressive drivers with Jesus Saves bumper stickers or rude restaurant patrons with beautiful crosses hanging around their necks don't go unnoticed. Do talk about your faith. It's okay to talk about faith, in my opinion. Don't talk about other people's faith or lack of faith directly to them, especially if you don't know them well and they didn't ask to have a conversation about it. Jesus once said, "Why are you concerned about the speck in your neighbor's eye rather than the log in your own?" Well, let it be evident that your first concern as a person of faith is to be managing yourself, not other people. Talk about how faith in Jesus has changed your life in a manner of humility. You have a nearly 0% chance of talking someone into faith. But sometimes, we've probably all noticed, we come across someone whose faith and manner of life we admire and respect, and maybe we try to be like that person. I'm suggesting that in a very quiet, unassuming way, that you try to be one of those people. Do pray. Do pray in public. Don't pray in a way that makes a display of your prayer or makes others uncomfortable, but don't be ashamed to be faithful in front of others. This is a part of our lives. This is a part of who God has made us to be. If you're out to dinner with your family, say grace. Not for the benefit of those around you, but in order to let yourself and God know that you're not wearing camouflage or embarrassed to be a Christian. If you're out to dinner with friends, test the waters. But generally, I've found that even friends who aren't practicing Christians are okay if you say, "Would you mind if I say grace before we eat?" And then pray something simple. Bless these gifts to our use and us to your service. Amen. If you have a friend who's sick or suffering, ask gently if you can pray with them. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just take their hand or put a hand on their shoulder and pray, "Lord, watch over Susie and help her to understand that you love her and give her the strength and courage to get through this difficulty. Amen." If something good happens to someone, ask if you can pray in thanksgiving with them. The worst that might happen is the person says no. Maybe they even look a little upset. Just say, "I'm sorry. I thought it might be something that helped, but I didn't mean to upset you." Because that's true. We don't pray for the world or for our friends in order to cause upset. We pray because we believe prayer is important, and it's okay that we believe that even if others don't. And it's okay if we do it, even if others don't. And it's okay if we offer it until someone tells us they don't want it. One last thought. Don't use prayer as an act of aggression. If you're squabbling with someone and you think they're in the wrong, don't say, "I'll pray for you." That's not really helpful. Down south, they have a thing where they say, "Bless your heart." If you're ever down south and someone says, "Bless your heart," they don't mean that. Don't be afraid of your faith, and don't think of it as something artificial. Faith is an expression of our sense that God is with us, purposeful and loving, and that we have a relationship with God. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, several things happened that I noticed, and maybe you noticed these too. First, the encounter happened as Moses was going about his daily routine. He was not in a temple. He was herding sheep. Second, Moses turned aside out of curiosity. Third, God commanded Moses to remove his sandals because he was standing on sacred ground. Did you notice that? In other words, to treat the moment as holy, to treat every moment of life as holy, even though just before God appeared, all that was around Moses was just an ordinary bush and ordinary dirt and a lot of sheep. God is with us at every moment, and carrying out faith in public without camouflage, but also without pride or disdain of others, is how we're supposed to live. We're out in public, and God is with us. Live your life. Be around whomever you choose, wherever you choose, whenever you choose. And yet, I carry with me a phrase that my grandparents taught me and that perhaps you might find useful. Never forget who you are and who you want to become. Amen.